All right. Well, we are starting a new sermon series this weekend called Great Lengths. And as you can tell from that preview video, we're going to be in the book of Jonah, which is in the Old Testament. I will give you permission to look in your table of contents if you need to, because it can be a hard to find book if you aren't that familiar with the Old Testament. So thankful that we get a chance just to reflect on how God goes to great lengths to save us, to reach us, to redeem us. And so this is where we're going to be for the next few weeks, walking through the book of Jonah. I do want to give greetings to our Wyoming campus and our Nagpur, India campus, and the folks at the Juvenile Detention Facility. Would you give it up for those campuses? We are excited to worship together as one church family in many locations. And so great lengths, and we'll be in Jonah 1 this weekend, and the title of the sermon is Go. Go. You know, we have a vision as a church to reach all people, engage the community, awaken spiritual growth, and launch everyone into service. And so in many ways, this chapter and this sermon starts the process in reaching all people. We have to go. So I'd like to pray before I dive into Jonah 1, and I'm going to ask that you join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the chance to spend some time in your word. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I ask, God, that you would help us to listen to what it is that you want to say. And I pray that it would be crystal clear from the youngest to the oldest in the room what you want us to do with this text. Lord, you know that there are different backgrounds and experiences reflected as we gather this weekend. And Lord, wherever people are coming from, whatever is going on in their lives, I just ask that you would speak by the power of your Holy Spirit and make it abundantly clear how it is you want us to apply this message. Lord, I pray that this would be more than just information. I ask that it would lead to transformation. And I ask all of these things in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. Amen. So, Jonah 1. I'm going to jump right into the text. So hopefully you have found it by now. We encourage you to follow along, and the words would be on the screen as well. Jonah 1 begins this way. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. You know, this is a prophetic book, the book of Jonah. Jonah is a prophet. A prophet is someone who speaks forth the word of God. But this is not your typical prophetic book. And what I mean by that is that in typical prophecy, God picks one of God's people, delivers a word to that person, and typically it's a word of warning or judgment to God's own people. Like in the Old Testament, God's chosen people, Israel, God would sometimes raise up a prophet to deliver a word of warning about the way that they were living. What's interesting is that this is not typical, because God has chosen one of his people, a prophet, to deliver a word to a different nation, the nation of Nineveh, the city of Nineveh, I should say. And this is not one of God's chosen cities, but Jonah's called to go and share some information with this city. And there's several possible reasons why God may have called Jonah to do this. Maybe God wanted to teach Jonah a lesson about grace and repentance. Maybe God wanted to teach Nineveh a lesson about grace and repentance. Whatever the reason, God always has a reason for telling us to go. And so here's the issue when we look at the beginning of this text. The question is God telling you to go anywhere, to go and do anything? And have you been ignoring the voice of God? Have you been running, or are you walking in obedience? God always has a reason for telling people to go. We don't know the source of the wickedness of Nineveh. The author of the book, who is likely not Jonah, by the way, but someone writing about Jonah, the author doesn't tell us what the wickedness was all about. For all we know, Nineveh could have been filled with sexual immorality. It could have been a city filled with pride and self-sufficiency. It could have been a city filled with thieves and liars. We don't know what wickedness had risen to the level of God's attention in Nineveh. We just know that it was staring God in the face. It caught God's attention. And what we're told is that Jonah was called to go and preach to Nineveh. Now, when God calls you to go, you know that it's a good idea to go, right? It's not a good idea to try and go somewhere else. But the text tells us in verse 3, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. So children, we have our children in the room with us this weekend at the Kentwood campus. Anytime you see a but in scripture, pay attention. Because usually that means that there's a radical change in direction, a turning point in the story that's about to happen. And we're told that Jonah turned and went the opposite direction. It's like God told Jonah to go east, and Jonah went as far west, or tried to go as far west as he could. I think we have a map that shows where Tarshish is in relation to Nineveh. You can see that God told Jonah to go somewhere about 550 miles away from Joppa. Instead, Jonah tried to get on a ship to go 2,500 miles away from where God was telling him to go. The total opposite direction. You know, I think about the different places where God has our campuses. You know, in our Kentwood campus, in our Wyoming campus, it would be as if God said, go to Detroit and preach in Detroit, and we run to Holland and try and get on a boat crossing Lake Michigan to go to Chicago or something, right? To go a completely opposite direction. Or we go and hop on a plane to go to California. I was thinking about in Nagpur, India, it'd be like if God said, go to Calcutta, and somebody tried to go all the way to Mumbai to go across the Arabian Sea to Yemen or something like that. Like Jonah tries to run from the Lord and goes in completely the opposite direction. I wonder if there are any Jonahs in the house this weekend. I wonder if there's anyone where God has nudged you, prompted you, spoken to you about something. Go and talk to that person. Go and do that thing. And if you've gone in the other direction. So Jonah tries to run from the Lord, and look at what happens. Verses 4 and 5 say, then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. And all the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. Do you notice how Jonah got comfortable with disobeying what God told him to do? Jonah got comfortable in his own disobedience. And I wonder how often that happens to us, where we start to get comfortable at disobeying God. And yet this is what happens with Jonah here. And we're told that because of that, God allowed or sent whatever, what you might struggle with this theology about God sending the storm, but God sent or allowed the storm that threatened to break the ship up. Jonah's disobedience was having a ripple effect on others. And I believe that that's true in all of our lives. One person's disobedience always has a ripple effect on other people. In a marital relationship, when one person cheats on a spouse, there's always a ripple effect on the spouse and on the children and on the extended family that have come to love this person. In a job where one person is dishonest, it affects the perception of the whole company. In a family where one person is not trustworthy, it affects the dynamics in the whole household. There's a ripple effect. If someone goes speeding through the parking lot at the church, it affects everybody who's parked or walking through the parking lot. Like, you could go on and on about these examples. One person's disobedience always has a ripple effect on others. I wonder if there are any Jonahs in the house this weekend. Anyone that knows that God has been calling them to go somewhere. Maybe you've been called or nudged by God to go to marriage counseling, to go to the gym, to go and reconcile a relationship, to go and take care of that financial matter, to go and do what God is calling you to do. And yet you're walking in disobedience, and only you and God know it. Jonah tried to run from the Lord, and he actually got comfortable in his disobedience, so comfortable, in fact, and he just laid down and went to sleep. And then the text tells us the captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish. And then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who's responsible for this calamity. They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, Tell us who's responsible for making all this trouble for us. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? Do you notice the scene? All of these folks on the ship were crying out to various gods. And they were calling out to their gods, thinking that surely our God can help stop this storm. They were calling on a bunch of other things, but there was only one true God that could stop the storm. And so the captain, when he finds Jonah sleeping, he's saying, everybody else is crying out to their God. Why don't you cry out to your God? And they begin to realize that maybe, just maybe, it's something that you've done that has led to this storm. Maybe it's your disobedience that has caused this. And so Jonah answered, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Jonah knew who he was. He knew that God had created everything. But isn't it kind of crazy to think about trying to run on the sea or on the land from the God who created the sea and the land? Like, Jonah was going to try and get away from God who is everywhere. And in this moment, he acknowledges who he is. And I just believe that earlier in the story, there's evidence that disobedience can cause us to forget our true identity. When we disobey God, sometimes I think we forget who we are and whose we are. Like, do you realize that if you're a follower of Christ, you are a child of the King, a child of the Most High God, the one that has a plan and a purpose for your life? When we try and disobey that God by doing things our way and getting comfortable with it, sometimes I think we forget who we are and who we belong to. And so God told Jonah to go. Jonah disobeyed. The storm comes up. People are crying out to their gods. And then the interrogation happens. Who are you? What do you do? And Jonah reveals who he is and whose he is. And then when he told them that the God of heaven is the one that he follows, this terrified them. Verses 10 and 11. They were deeply afraid. He says, what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Their issue is, how do we appease this God that you're running from? You must have done something so wrong that we've got to do something to you to appease this God. And Jonah surprisingly says, pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied. And it will become calm. And I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. You see, here's what I know coming into a sermon like this. There are some people who are walking in obedience to God. God called you to do something. You're doing it. You've been doing it for years. You're in your sweet spot, your passion area. You're walking in obedience. Every day is like a joy-filled day. You wake up in the morning with pep in your step because you're walking in obedience to God. But I know that there are others that you're running from God. You're still heading west when God told you to go east. And the storm is either going on right now or it's on its way, but you know you're running from God. And then there are others that, you know, God is nudging you, but you haven't done anything yet. It's not that you're walking in disobedience, going the opposite direction. You're just trying to act like you don't hear God. La, 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 like, I don't hear you. And yet God is speaking. There's people in different places. That's my point. And what I love about Jonah here is that Jonah is at a place in this story where he realizes it's time to stop running. It's time to stop running. Now, I know we got some kids in the room today, and I just want to hear the voices of the fifth grade folks and under. I want you to be so loud in a moment that they can hear you all the way in Nagpur, India. Okay, so all the kids, if you're ready, say, yeah, we're ready. Okay, you're going to have to be a little louder than that, a little louder than that. If you're ready, say, yeah, we're ready. All right, that's pretty good. On the count of three, I want you to say, stop running. One, two, three. That was pretty good. Give it up for the kids. Give it up for the kids. This is the thing. Jonah realizes in this moment that it's time to stop running from God. He says, pick me up and throw me into the sea, and it will become calm, because I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. See, if our disobedience, if our sin has a ripple effect on others, there has to come a point where we take ownership for our stuff. You know, there's some families that will leave here this weekend and need to go home and have a tough conversation about ownership. Or one family member might look at another one and say, I understand it's what I did that brought this storm upon us. There's some of you that are going to go and have to talk to employees or employers this week and say, I understand that it's what I have been doing that has brought this storm upon us. There's something about, even if you've been running in disobedience away from the Lord, that even in those moments, if you could stop and just take ownership for your stuff, God can still use our failures in order to demonstrate God's power. Perhaps some of you are feeling that point of conviction right now that Jonah felt, where it's like, it's time to stop running. It's time to stop running in the area of secret sin in your life. It's time to stop running in the area of infidelity. It's time to stop running in the cheating and the lying and the stealing. It's time to stop running in the wearing of the mask and acting like everything's okay when it's not. It's time to stop running when God has called you to reach lost people, people that you know are far from the Lord, and yet you've been ignoring the conversation because it's just too hard to have. It's time to stop running in fear. It's time to stop running in disobedience. God can use our failures to demonstrate God's power. And so look at what happens in the next verses. It said the men did their best to row back to land. That just seems funny to me. God sends this violent storm. We just think through effort, through self-effort, through trying harder, we can get back to the land. Like, we don't have to throw this man overboard. But they couldn't, for the sea grew even wilder than before. And then they cried out to the Lord, please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you please. And then they took Jonah and they threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. And at this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now, if the story were to stop right here, this would create a lot of confusion and anxiety for people. They said, what kind of God is that that would cause people to throw someone overboard into the midst of a raging storm? If that's the kind of God that you Christians follow, some people would say, I don't want to follow a God like that. But the story doesn't end there, because the very next verse we're told, now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. You see, God delivered Jonah. God provided a way out for Jonah. God provided a solution for Jonah. But not only did God do that, when these folks threw Jonah overboard, the sea grew calm. The storm that they had been caught up in because of someone else's disobedience stopped raging. And as that storm stopped raging, these men turned to the Lord. It says they greatly feared the Lord, and they made vows to worship God. You see, you might not be happy with God allowing a group of people to throw a man overboard into the midst of a violent storm, but don't miss those two parts of the text. That one, God still saved Jonah. Even at his worst moment of disobedience, God still stepped in to provide a solution for Jonah. And in the midst of that, by showing God's power, God drew a group of people who were far from him to himself. And so this God that Jonah was running from is a God who uses our failures to make us even better. It's a God who will reveal a true identity to us that we can use to tell the world about this awesome God. He's a God that helps us to recognize that even when we think our sin is personal, there's always a ripple effect on others. And he's a God that gives us reasons to go. So where is God calling you to go? I want you to consider some questions, and I really want you to think deeply about these. Have you grown too comfortable with choosing your desires over God's desires? I want you to think about that for a moment. Like, what is it that you want to do? And then what is it that God wants you to do? Like, what is it that God has been nudging you to do, prompting you to do, that you haven't been doing? And what's your reason for it? Is it because your preferences seem to trump God's preferences in your life? is it that you think that you should be able to do whatever you want to do? Look, you say, I got saved when I was younger. I surrendered my life to Christ, so therefore, I'm free to do whatever I want to do, and God can just, if he doesn't like what I'm doing, then so be it. I'm going to tell you, that's an arrogant place to be in. We serve a God that not only has a great plan for our lives, but will equip us to live out the plan. And if you've been walking in disobedience and you've gotten comfortable with it, today's the day to do some self-examination. And is there an assignment from God that you've been procrastinating to complete? You know, it may be that God told you 2 years ago, you need to fix that relationship that's been broken. You need to go talk to someone about what you've been struggling with. What is it that you've been procrastinating in? It's time today to follow through on it. And then the last question, who might God be calling you to reach this week with a word of challenge or encouragement? I don't know how your life goes, but I know that there are some people in my life that come to mind from time to time. They come to mind maybe when I'm driving or, you know, I'm at home doing something and I think, oh, I should call so-and-so. I should just encourage so-and-so. I know they're going through a difficult time, or I wonder how they're doing. And it kind of goes up here in the mental file, but I don't necessarily follow through on it. Maybe you've got some people in your life that way. Maybe as school starts this week for our students here in the States, maybe there's a teacher that you just want to encourage. Maybe there's another parent or family that you want to encourage. Or maybe you know someone that would love to be sending kids to school right now, but they've been unable to have children, and maybe you just want to encourage them. Maybe you're a grandparent, and all your kids and grandkids are off doing their thing, and maybe you want to encourage a family that you see struggling with their own kids, because you've been there. You've been around the block more than once, and you could just come alongside a young family and encourage them. I don't know what it is, but what might God be calling you to do to encourage someone this week or to challenge someone this week? I've got to tell you that as I studied this text in preparation for this whole sermon series, I found myself wrestling with a couple key questions. In what ways is God calling out more Jonas in the world? And in what ways do I or my nation live like Nineveh in this world? Now, I want you to ponder that for a moment. You know, you could say, well, what if God is calling you to be more like Jonah? What if God has called you to go preach or challenge someone about the weakness in their life? That is a tough assignment. But think about it this way. What if God is raising up Jonas from some other nations and saying, I want you to go preach to America because their wickedness has come up before me? You say, whoa, 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 wait a second. But you know God has blessed America. How could you compare America to Nineveh? I'll let you think about that as we continue to walk through this series. But I've pondered, what if God is raising up some Jonas from within this church family to go out and preach in the world? What if God is raising up some Jonas from other parts of the world to come and preach in America? I'd like to pray about that. I'm going to ask that you join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, the bottom line is you desire our obedience. And Lord, you know those in the room who are walking in disobedience. And you know the ripple effect that it's having on others. Lord, you know where a word of challenge or encouragement needs to be offered. And you know where folks have been holding it back. And Lord, you know where folks have grown comfortable or complacent when it comes to disobeying you. God, I pray that the hopes and dreams and passions and desires that you laid on the hearts of people at some point in their lives, that they would not abandon those, but they would continue to pursue those with your help. Whether they're fully down the road of obedience and enjoying their sweet spot of passion, Lord, or whether they're just getting started and recognizing today as a turning point. I just pray, oh God, that wherever folks find themselves, you would speak and lead and guide, and that we would be a congregation that walks in obedience to you. I ask all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.